views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Tando Radio. Today is Monday, October the 23rd, 2017. And I have been allotted a spot to come and speak to you today because Dave has other plans. My name is Jerry Hayes, the host, the co-host of Foundational Radio and Real Talk, excuse me, Real Life, the radio show. Brother Rob, are you there? How you doing today, Scotty?
I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain too much. I've been complaining, but I ain't going to complain to you, Brother Jerry. Hey, I don't see Ross on the board. Ross, if you on the board, hit star to unmute yourself because I don't see a New York number on here, so I'm not sure that Ross has joined us yet, Brother Jerry.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to try to keep this as close to Tando as possible. And I know first thing Dave would go about is the news, so I'm trying to pull up his news feed. But before that, I would just like to let everybody know that we here at Black Talk Radio, Brother Scotty has created a social media platform, BTR Community, that is $24 a year, which will be the best way of going about it, where you're only paying $2 a month. And there are other per month costs that you have, and I believe it's like $5 a month just from month to month. Is that right, Scotty?
Yes. I'm sorry. Well, it take me a little time sometimes to unmute myself. Yeah, it's $5 a month or $1 a week, but the most economic, what's the word? I'm getting tongue-tied, Brother Jerry. You had to excuse me. The most economic value is the one for $24 a year. And, of course, all of this goes to the Black Talk Media Project, and it helps us to fund our media operations because we don't get corporate advertisers.
Yes, and Brother Scotty does a lot for all of us, whether you acknowledge it or not. So that will be most appreciated to at least become part of the BTR community, where you can engage with like-minded people without having to worry about having your information data mined and just really expressing yourself with no fear of retaliation. So that would be BTR community. Also, the crowdfunding campaign that Dave has put together for us to participate in, if you would like, Coins of Change. And there what you do is you have a silver and you have a gold. In the silver, you put in $50 and you create a matrix for yourself to where you get three people up under you, and each person up under you has three people. And once you reach the final stage, you have the ability to accumulate over $1 million in digital currency that you can then transfer over into your own physical account. And what we want like to use that for is to acquire real money, assets, and build businesses amongst each other. That way we'll be financially stable for one thing, and secondly, be able to make moves without having the process of always having to ask somebody else to do something for us. The gold stage, which I'm not too familiar with as of yet, but I know it's $50 plus 10% of a Bitcoin. And I know once you reach the final and fifth stage of that, then you will be able to accumulate upwards of $7 million. So this is something that I have participated in. I have gotten a few people to get on. I only have one of my three slots filled as of yet. But if the people I've been talking to are honest, I should have more than three. So I'm looking forward to this opportunity myself. And hopefully you've at least looked into it, because a lot of people may believe that they don't want to throw away $50, but my logic is that just me knowing myself, I throw away more than $50 on a weekly basis, whether it's not wanting to cook, buying junk food, every time you have a drink, going to the movies, things of this nature, just pitching pennies here and there. There's your investment, and none of these things that I just named has any real benefit to me outside of getting my mind off of whatever issues that I'm dealing with or trying to forget. So it's a great investment that even if it wasn't any good, like I said, for you to try it is nothing but $50. And just the fact that I put my $50 in early, when Bitcoin went up, I end up having more than $50 worth of digital assets anyway. So these are things that we can think about when trying to invest with each other, because sometimes we get good information and we allow it to slip because we're skeptical of either the person or the event that they're giving to us. So that's about Coins of Change. Hopefully y'all look into that. So today, I guess we'll go ahead on and we'll get into today's show. I got the news feeds put up. The topic of the day is U.S. is a paid country, not a free country. And they will be collecting soon. And she will be collecting soon. She, meaning the U.S. So here is some of the articles. Brother Rise put up this article, and it comes from Engadget.com. FBI tried and failed to unlock 7,000 encrypted devices. And you can find these articles in BTR. That's the only place that Dave posts. In BTR up on the Tando Radio, you'll be able to find these articles there. And I'm going to read just the first paragraph of this. In an 11-month period, the FBI failed to gain access to around 7,000 encrypted mobile devices, BBC News reports, which is about half of those targeted by the agency, according to the FBI Director Christopher Wray. In a speech given at the Association of Chiefs of Police conference yesterday, he said that the device encryption was a huge, huge problem for the agency. I guess we shouldn't be surprised about that. Now, the article goes on, but Dave has so many articles in this feed, I just want to give a small summary of what's going on. The next one comes from Rise, also from Fox News, Fox Business. And it is, hackers now targeting schools, threatening children, and intercepting paychecks. And I'm not sure if all of this that's going on isn't the U.S. government that's doing this, because we know here in this country they have a history of doing things to the citizens and then blaming it on other people. And one of the things that I've always noticed is that when they start to blame this stuff on people, before they let you know that they have been hit, they allow you to get punished by whether it's your bank account done been taken. They allow these things to happen to you, and they tell you about it afterwards. So I'm not sure if that's because they hadn't come up with a good enough excuse, or just not really sure. But that is a pattern that I have noticed. Another article out of the thread it comes from Apartment Therapy. Hold on, let me look at this one again. Yes, apartmenttherapy.com. And it's, we may be renting in space sooner than expected. And that's just speaking about the SpaceX program and them living on the moon. I just read an article recently about which one would be safer, living on Mars or living on the moon. So they have SpaceX up and running, and they are doing a whole lot of experiments that they are not giving clear details about. And it's people that's already paid for these rooms and what things to be living on the outer space. And the only thing I think about when I hear these type of articles and when I read them is, what do they have in store for the people that are on Earth? Because they wouldn't be running if it wasn't a reason.
Hey, Brother Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Related to that, I saw a story today. I didn't go all into the article. I just, read the little brief summary and whatnot. But apparently, they have on one of Mars's moons, they have detected that, what do they call that? Solar wind is generating electricity from that. So I don't know if that's like some kind of chemical reaction because of the composition.
Is it a magnetic field? Was it a magnetic field, Scott?
They said it was one of the moons that, orbits Mars, and I should have probably read more, but I was doing something else when it came across my feed. But they said that the solar wind, when it goes across the surface, is causing electrical currents or something. So I'm like, already they trying to, figure that out so that they can have electricity on. And to answer your question, I think that they know that they destroying the Earth and that the resources are not infinite, that it's a limit on the resources. And the very wealthy is looking for somewhere else to move, whether that's the next generation or next couple of generations. But I think that's what it is. They know they destroying the Earth.
I agree. And I'm looking at this, and we can go into this right now. I just pulled it up. There's even a video on it. But I'm still learning how to do that anyway. And plus, this isn't my platform, so I couldn't play it. But, yeah, let me go get into this real quick, Scotty, because that's interesting. They seem to find out the most incredible things without ever telling. See, but they're telling us about this now. So how long have they been studying this moon? Because they don't give us their information just as soon as they find it. But here's this article, and it is actually not that long, so I'm going to just go through the whole article real quick. NASA has set its sights on the Martian moon probes as a potential initial base for human exploration of the red planet, but powerful solar eruptions could throw a wrench in its plans. A new NASA study shows that solar wind, the stream of electrically charged particles that the sun blows out into space, creates a complex electrical environment on Phobos, which could possibly affect astronauts and tiny scientific equipment brought to the irregularly shaped moon in the future missions. We found that astronauts or rovers could accumulate significant electric charge when traversing the night side of Phobos. The side facing Mars during the Martian day, William Farrell, lead author of the study from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, said in a statement, "While we don't expect these charges to be large enough to injure an astronaut, they are potentially large enough to affect sensitive equipment, so we will need to design spacesuits and equipment that minimizes any charging hazards. In theory, astronauts would travel..." I'm sorry, I hit a button by mistake. "In theory, astronauts would travel to Phobos and remotely operate robots on the Martian surface, reducing the considerable time delay faced by Earth-based operators. NASA has considered Phobos as a possible initial base because its weak gravity makes it easier to land spacecraft, astronauts, and supplies, according to the statement. Phobos orbits incredibly close to Mars, and since it has no atmosphere and no magnetosphere, it plows directly through streams of solar winds and absorbs the electrically charged particles on its day side. This in turn leaves a void over its night side. As a result, negatively charged electrons from the solar wind fill this void and statically charge the moon's night side. This same effect also occurs in other large shadow areas on Phobos, such as Stinkley Crater, according to the study, which was published October the 3rd in the journal Advances in Space Research. We found that excess charge builds up in these regions during all solar wind conditions, but the charging effect was especially severe in the wake of solar eruptions like coronal mass ejections, which are dense, fast gusts of solar winds," Farrell said in the statement. For the study, the researchers modeled the flow of the solar winds around Phobos, revealing that the buildup of static charge on the night side and in shadow regions can reach 10,000 volts in some materials, such as the Teflon suits worn by astronauts during the Apollo lunar missions, according to the statement. Therefore, astronauts and rovers traversing these areas on Phobos could build up significant electric charges. For example, friction created by astronauts walking across the night side surface could transfer charge from the dust and rock to their spacesuits. Then, when the astronaut touches something conductive, like a piece of equipment, it could release the charge, similar to a static shock experience after walking across a rug and then touching a metal doorknob. Previous studies have shown that the same charging effect occurs in large shadow craters in the north and south poles of Earth's moon. However, Earth itself has an atmosphere and a magnetosphere that defends it against effects of solar wind. Ah, goodness, Scotty. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. What tripped me out the most, though, is like right now they're trying to figure out how to make money off of this, like you said. And when they send these people up here, they're going to charge them for electricity. That's crazy. That's crazy. But to continue on down this let me get some of Brother Dave's get some of Brother Dave's articles in.
Yeah, sometimes when it's a whole bunch of news stories in a thread, at the very top, it'll say, like, view more, something to that effect, and then that's, you had to click that in order for it to unveil the earlier posts.
Okay, I just found it also. I'm still getting used to the platform and the equipment. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Here is some of Dave's posts. And this comes from antiwar.com. Getting it right on Catalonia. And this was published today. That's quite a big article. I'm not going to go too far into that. Dave also got from Freedom Outpost, your government has been lying to you, man. Now, getting in contact with Scotty, Dave, and a few other people out here at Potando, I have been noticing this long before then, but so much more now, knowing what to look for and who to get my lies from. And I say that just how I meant it, who to get my lies from. Because when you hear certain people tell you stuff, it's so much truth wrapped up into the lies that they're telling. It just depends on your perception and if you receive the message that they're giving. It looks like we up on a commercial break. Am I correct, Scotty?
Actually, no. We take it at the top of the hour and the last half hour.
Okay. Well, I shall continue. This next article comes from Dave by way of cnd.defense1.com. And this is a form to where they just give you a lot of the information. It seems like an online... Okay, that was just a... Okay, defense1.com. And it is exclusive. U.S. preparing to put nuclear bombers back on 24-hour alert. Okay, this is the one that I seen earlier that I didn't get to read. Now, this comes from Louisiana, Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. The U.S. Air Force is preparing to put nuclear-armed bombers back on 24-ready alert, a status not seen since the Cold War ended in 1991. That means the long, dormant concrete pads at the end of this base, 11,000-foot runway, dubbed the Christmas tree for their angular marks, could once again find several B-52s parked on them, laden with nuclear weapons and set to take off at a moment's notice. And they do this all under the guise of defending North America, when the only war that has been fought on American soil, from my research, was the Civil War, the Revolutionary War. In this modern day time, there hasn't been any wars fought on American soil.
One more, but, Jerry, one more, the War 1812.
The War 1812. Would that be considered modern, Brother Scotty?
Well, you mentioned the Revolutionary War.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the War 1812, remember, that's when the national anthem was born.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Fighting the British.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but as far as any modern wars, we have been bullying the globe. And most of the time when we get into a war, it's because somebody didn't want to give up their assets freely. So we created a circumstance to where we would go over there and take them from them. So that's what we got going on with that. And then I don't believe they didn't, as I was scanning through the article, I didn't see them mentioning dropping no bombs in North Korea. So the only place I can see them going as of right now is Iran. So those are a few of the articles in the thread. There are so many. There are so many. Dave be getting these together. I gotta be more like Dave when I'm preparing my shows. But today's show, it's a band. This is a paid country and not a free one. And she will be collecting some. I stated earlier that she will be the United States. She's collecting. So if she's collecting, and shout out to Melanated Roots, because they had gave me some information by listening to them a few weeks ago. If she's collecting, then who she's paying to? Because not only did the brothers, brother Rio and Brother Thomas on Melanated Roots, Brother Tommy on Melanated Roots, who come on tonight at 8 o'clock after Tando, they mentioned that the United States was in bankruptcy. But I was listening to one of these outright radio stations here a couple of days ago and on Fox News, and Rand Paul just so happened to be one of the guests. And he stated himself that the United States was in bankruptcy. Now, when we started looking at what you can do, under constitutional law, you don't supposed to be able to make no type of judgments or collections or any of that if the country is in bankruptcy. And I'm pulling out my constitutional law book, one of my constitutional law books right now. I'm trying to find it so I can see exactly what it says. But that's going to be a little bit difficult.
Well, look, Brother Jerry, let me ask you this, though. Is the United States in bankruptcy or heading there? Because I would think if you're in bankruptcy, don't you got to file some kind of paperwork? The whole point of going into bankruptcy is to get relief from your creditors, right? That's at least
that would be true. That would be true to us. Got it.
Okay.
Because we know that they write these laws and never follow them.
Right. Now, is that Rand Paul or Ron Paul?
It was Ron Paul that was the guest.
Yeah, he said the other day it's a 50% chance that the economy's going to collapse.
Yeah, and these people be saying these things, and I think sometimes we believe they misspeak. When they tell us exactly what they was intending on telling us in the first place. So when they say, I can't remember what that phrase he be using, plausible deniability. So when we actually see this stuff in the works, they say, well, we told you, remember such and such time when I stated that this was going to happen. But, I mean, what is we, like $20 trillion in debt?
I'm not sure, but I know it's counting. It keeps adding up. And just
like
$20 trillion
in debt. And that's not even the interest that's added on to it. You can't do the interest until you start paying on the principal.
I mean, that's such a scam. Because you think about it, if you're paying in Federal Reserve notes, you're paying interest on Federal Reserve notes. So then, because you're using Federal Reserve notes, so it's a never-ending cycle of interest payments building up just by using this fiat currency. So that in itself is a scam. But you do got Ross on the line. I'm not sure if you logged in and you could see the board. But you do got Ross on the line, and I think Brother Mario wants to comment as well. But Brother Ross, do we got you? You supposed to be co-hosting.
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you so much. It's been a wild afternoon going into the evening, so I do apologize. I came in late, but I know Jerry was holding it down. He does well. How are you, Scotty? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just getting things sorted out.
I know you said you were kind of going through some things a couple of days ago. Are you doing okay from that, or are you still in the process of
I'm just stressed out, man. I got too large of a workload, so I'm taking some steps to lighten my workload. So I'm, mentally, emotionally, I'm okay. I'm not thinking about suicide or nothing like that.
I hope not.
Just not stress. Just stress.
I want
man.
You to take care of yourself. Yeah. I just want you to take care of yourself. That's of extreme and utmost importance. So, whatever you have to do to make things better as far as relieving that pressure valve, you do it.
Right. Most certainly.
All right. So yes, brother Jerry, what were y'all discussing? Since I came in so late, I'm sorry. I do apologize, but I've got the tail end of what you were just discussing. But go ahead,
brother Jerry. We can't hear you.
Oh, I think he might have muted himself.
I did, and I'm so sorry. I say, what would be that forward slash to get into the conference room, Scott, to log into the board? Is it Black Talk Radio Network?
I think he might have.
Can I be heard? Too.
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I think Scotty might have muted himself too.
Okay. Well, Scotty, can you get Mario in if you say Mario had a question or a statement?
Yes, yes. Can I be heard?
How you doing?
Greetings, Brother Jerry. How you doing, Brother Roz? Good to hear y'all brothers, man.
Yeah, how are you?
Greetings.
I'm doing pretty good, man. I trust all is well with you brothers. I hope you feel better and get well soon, Scotty. Take care of yourself, brother, because, we still need you. So, keep yourself in good health, brother. Please do that. I just wanted to comment on, a little bit on the bankruptcy, the United States, well, this particular corporation is in bankruptcy. They recently switched over to the United States of America, which just came out of Chapter 13 bankruptcy, I believe it is. So they're piling on debt onto that particular corporation again until its demise. Until it, goes back into bankruptcy again. What you have is a never-ending loop of bankruptcy. But the receivership is the IMF and also the UN. So those are the people who are collecting the interest, because we can't pay off the actual debt. Because if I give you $5 and you got a contract with me, saying that the money that I give you, I'm going to attach an interest to, even if you change your mind at a later date and say, here you go your $5 back, you can't pay me back the interest, because I'm the only one who can make money for you. So every time I print off money for you to pay the interest continues to accrue. So there's no way that you could pay off the interest. And that is what the debt is. All the tax payments go towards the interest on the money that's being printed, and we know that the money is being inflated at this particular time. So we can never come out from under that debt. And if you look into the Reagan administration, he commissioned a committee to kind of analyze what was going on with the debt. And they confirmed unequivocally that all the money that was being collected for taxes was going towards paying the interest, and it was going to England, or in particularly the city of London, and also the Vatican. So that's pretty much where our tax money goes.
Brother Rio.
Yes, sir.
Now, I was wanting to ask you this when you was talking about that, but I know you had quite a few other guests waiting, so I try to be respectful of other people's shows. But I got a little free time tonight, so I'm going to shoot these off real quick. And Riles, I'm sorry, but we're going to get you right on let you open up just a second, Rob. Brother Rio, my question was is that even though because you know the Vatican and the Queen are getting a lot of that kickback. Now, where is the from what I've researched, the kickback to the Chinese who own most of our debt tickets is the land. So how, once they start accumulating more and more land, because they don't want that fiat money like you just stated, so as they accumulate more and more land, are they paying taxes on it? Do they have it in a trust to where it's not being taxed, or are they totally exempt from that whole process because they are the actual receivers of the debt?
Well, what's going on, Brother Jerry, is when it's like when you have an estate that goes bankrupt and the assets of that estate are sold off in order to recoup some of the financial cost that is incurred.
Yeah, the burden, burden that they have.
So basically what you have is you have a fire sale going on in the United States. The bankruptcy, the only thing that was left to pledge were the people's energy and the energy that the people can contribute in the future. So, you know, that is one thing that's been sold off. And also, you know, for lack of a better term, the ownership, or I should say the legal parameters to be able to control the land, because the indigenous still actually own the land, but we're not in our proper person, and we don't have the unity to enforce, you know, our sovereignty upon this land. So we're still conquered. But the control of the land has been auctioned off to the highest bidder, or people who have bought the debt, which China would be one of those. So they've come in and they get preferential treatment, and they get control of certain areas. So, you know, you see all these communities, these Chinese communities that are springing up in major cities. Well, you know, those are benefits, if you will, that have been allotted to them to be able to go in and take control of an area. I don't care who living there, but usually, you know, it's lower economic areas that, you know, they drive down through crime and poverty, and then they move the indigenous people out of that area, and then what we call gentrification starts to take place. And with that gentrification, they just bring in people who gets the preferential treatment. So some of them might be Chinatown, you know, in your major cities. You know, the Europeans are coming back into the major cities like Detroit. Same thing is going on in Atlanta, you know. So
yeah, it's going on here in Chattanooga.
Yeah, so they're moving out the people who were here at one time, and you know, through whatever plot, plan, or trick they have to, they get them out the way so that people who have the benefits can come in and state their claim.
Brother Ralph, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was going to say the U.S. is basically treated like any other, you know, person who doesn't pay their bills. Because even for the average citizen, if you owe, you know, an exorbitant amount of principal, interest, they never allow you to pay down the principal. They only let you pay on the interest until that's taken care of first. So the U.S. is being treated like any other, you know, debtor who can't pay their bill. Now, the other aspect that you were talking about as far as the United States being forced to give up more of its actual land, again, this talks to what Dave always says in regards to the Chinese playing Go while the U.S. is playing chess. The U.S. is used to playing chess, going to war. You know, you try to stop using the petrodollar, they're going to bomb you. We're going to sanction you. We're going to, you know, try to get the whole, you know, NATO to come down on you with some military intervention. We're going to take over your opium fields. Whatever they're going to do, that's chess. The Chinese have been playing Go because they're buying up everything here. I remember I said this probably 2 years ago, but this was done over 20 years ago by China, that China started buying up the United States rare earth mineral sites. And there was a documentary I saw on PBS where they discussed the fact that there was only one rare earth mineral site in the United States controlled by a United States company. All the other rare earth mineral sites in this country have been bought specifically by China. And at the time when they were allowing China to do all this purchasing, so that tells you how bad the debt was 20 years ago, because that was happening 20 years ago, and that back then the U.S. didn't have the understanding or foresight to really see that the rare earth minerals are how you create every bit of so-called technology we have, whether it's a cell phone, computer, tablet, rocket ships, airplanes, surveillance systems for the military. Everything is built on different either semi-precious metals or different gems and crystals, whether it's quartz, silver, all of these things, and they didn't know. So there's two articles I found. One is from The Hill, and this relates to everything that you were saying, and that I just was discussing. TheHill.com, rare earth ranker, feds must stop Chinese purchase of U.S. mines. A U.S. bankruptcy court has decided to sell, and this is from June 26th of this year. U.S. bankruptcy court has decided to sell a California mine, the Sol. So now we don't have any rare earth mineral sites, because within the last 3 to 5 years, they said that.
Don't forget, the Russians, not too long ago, also got that control of uranium mines here in North America, although the media has been real quiet about that, but Russia been buying up that sort of stuff too. And one of the things I learned and you are exactly right about some of these minerals being absolutely pertinent to all technology, some of those type of minerals are only found in Africa. And so
absolutely,
when I look at what just happened in Niger, when I just see what happened in Niger, I wouldn't be surprised if they allowed that to happen so that they could have justification to continue the American buildup in Africa and take over, like they always do.
I agree through AFRICOM. I agree with you emphatically. And the crazy part is, if you look at the United States like the human body, the immune system of the United States is its military, and the immune system of the military functions on rare earth minerals. So if you can't get rare earth minerals, every airplane, B-2 bomber, B-52, you name it, is not going to be able to be produced anymore. And what they're doing is they've been playing a game of Go and going at the entire immune system of the United States, the financial immune system, the military immune system, which, because America functions on white supremacy, that is the only immune system it has. It's going to war. And they're basically crippling the U.S.'s ability to go to war. So I'm just going to read part of this article and then a little part of the other one so you can see what I'm saying. And this is funny, because now this means that the one company that PBS reported on as being the sole company in the United States that was owned by the United States for rare earth minerals has now been bought by China. So that means that the U.S. cannot drill on its own soil for any rare earth minerals. It has to go through China. So China is basically crippling them. Here we go. So it says, the sole U.S. source of rare earth minerals the U.S. bankruptcy court has decided to sell a California mine, the sole U.S. source of rare earth minerals, to a consortium including Chinese mining company Shanghai Rare Earth Shareholding Company. If the transaction goes ahead, it would turn over the unique domestic producer of these vital minerals used in many high-tech electronic products to a Chinese-affiliated company. China already accounts, listen to this, for some 90% of the world production of rare earth minerals, and has demonstrated its ability to prioritize its own Chinese customers with export restraints on rare earths imposed in 2009, causing anger and consternation worldwide. The $20 million sale of the Mountain Pass California mine follows the 2015 bankruptcy of Molycorp, a public company that invested over $1 billion trying to build a U.S.-based producer of rare earth minerals. There were two bidders interested in Molycorp's assets, ERP Strategic Minerals, a U.S.-led consortium led by Tom Clark, a Virginia-based entrepreneur and coal industry veteran, and last week's winning consortium, which includes JHL Capital Group and QBT Financial, as well as Shanghai. Clark told the Wall Street Journal that his ERP group intends to challenge the court's decision on national security grounds. Although there have been conflicting reports on Shanghai's role, the Wall Street Journal quoted a Chinese language document from Shanghai that said it would have a profit share as well as exclusive sales rights for Mountain Pass Minerals. Rare earth rare earths are a group of 17 little-known elements, most of them with unpronounceable names like neodymium or ytterbium. Or ytterbium, I say, it's Y-T-T-E-R-B-I-U-M. However, many of them are used in small quantities in vital electronic components. Oh, uranium, thank you so much. And components like smartphone displays, sensors, and electric motors. Those applications also make them vital for defense applications, and most major defense contractors depend on components and subsystems that contain rare earths. So that's just that one. Then the other one says, this is from marketplace.org, why the U.S. buys all its rare earth metals from China. Rare earth metals, though not actually rare, have unique chemical properties that make them essential for wide-ranging technologies, including smartphones, hybrid cars, and high-tech weapons. 2 years ago, the only rare earth mine in the United States filed for bankruptcy protection. The ongoing dispute over the control of that mine's assets and thus the ore it produces centers on China's near monopoly over the rare earth element supply chain. Victoria Bruce is an author of a new book on that topic called Sellout, How Washington Gave Away America's Technological Soul and One Man's Fight to Bring It Home. She talked with Marketplace host Kai Risdale about why Chinese companies dominate the supply chain for rare earth elements. Now, that is basically telling you that for 90% of the rare earth minerals, everyone has to go to China, because even when you go to Africa, the relationship that Chinese people have created with the African continent, all the different 53 countries, those that are most well-known for rare earth minerals, it has established a relationship where they dominate, and they seek to, in some cases, help uplift the stability of the region economically, which allows them more access to those rare earth minerals. So they make these deals with Africa that are no less, in some cases, imbalanced as the ones that white people have. But in some cases, they haven't been as exploitative, even though in some regions of Africa they are no less exploitative than white people. It just depends on what area of Africa you're in. There's even stories of racism being practiced by some of these Chinese people in areas that they dominate in Africa. So this is what it's all about. And the bottom line is they're crippling the immune system of the United States, which is its ability to practice global white supremacy via warfare. So everything that you, Brother Rio, and Jerry, and Brother Scotty was saying is completely correct. And essentially, this whole rare earth situation is going to put the U.S. in a situation where, regardless of what China chooses to do, see, this is the type of moves Gaddafi could have made or should have made. If he was able to make moves like this without being public with his intentions, then the African continent would be in a totally different situation today. It would be where China is. But I think he went forward too fast. He said too much. He let the cat out the bag, and they got rid of him. And China said, oh, we're going to seize on that model, and we're going to just continue to do it in the way that we've been doing it, playing Go while these white people play chess. And now they're at a situation where they could do what they want. China is in the same situation today that the United States has been in for however long they've been dominating through violence. And they're at the point where they can let the cat out the bag, because they even got our food. All of our beef, our chicken, has to go to China before it comes here. Then you have the epidemic of the antibiotics not working because they inoculate chicken and beef in this country. So when you go to your doctor for an antibiotic and you're sick, the antibiotics don't work because you've been eating antibiotics since you were born. You just didn't know it. When you ate those eggs, when you was eating them chicken wings, when you was eating whatever beef, hamburgers, all of that was inoculated with antibiotics. So when you have these superbugs, as they call them, nothing is killing them because our bodies are now immune to the antibiotics because we've been infused with antibiotics our entire lives.
Hey,
so
there's
so many. Go ahead.
Hey, so right now what's dominating the news cycle is Donald Trump not knowing this soldier's name that was killed and saying he knew what he signed up for. And what they got you focusing on that, while people are not paying attention to the comments that have been made about now we got to expand the war on terror in Africa, which is just a cover for them to get in there to try to counteract some of what the Chinese is doing there. That's my opinion on that.
I agree with you emphatically, and the reason why is because the same thing they did in Afghanistan when you got the U.S. military guarding the poppy fields, since they know that China is checkmating them on the African continent as far as establishing viable economic relations, especially with those countries that have oil, those countries that have rare earth minerals, then the only way for the U.S. to get into those regions, which is what they've been using AFRICOM for, is to say war on terror. You guys got Al-Qaeda out there in Mali, and I just read an article like a day or two ago that talked about anybody who controls Mali basically controls, if not the entire African continent, the entire northern hemisphere of the African continent, because Mali's that important of a place as far as the minerals it has, the oil that it has, and its position on the map. So ultimately, the U.S., like you said, I agree, what's going to happen is you're going to find them going in there, they're going to be killing all of these people, they're going to say it's Boko Haram, they're going to make up new terror groups, and what they're really going to be doing is invading those regions to steal the rare earth minerals that they legally can't get access to because China has that monopoly business-wise over those regions now. So I agree with you emphatically, which I think can actually grow into a greater war situation between the U.S. and China, but the issue with that is that if China owns the 90% of the rare earth mineral sites globally, then ultimately the U.S. will no longer be able to manufacture tanks, planes, aircraft carriers, all of that's going to stop. So what you're going to see is whatever military gear that the U.S. has made up until the point that China stops giving them rare earth minerals is going to be it. It's going to be cut off from doing anything else militarily, and it's going to have to actually ration its vehicles that it uses in the theater globally with warfare. They're going to have to ration out planes, ration out the aircraft carriers, ration out the tanks, ration out all the things that take technology that China's holding the lion's share of the rare earth minerals control over. So again, it's a way of shutting the U.S. down in such a thorough manner that when this society collapses, it's going to be all left on the people of the United States. I think that the war is going to hit the mainland United States for the first time in history in a way that it's never seen before, and it's going to create the chaos that we've never seen before because we have no means of defending ourselves anymore. And, I mean, you have to say, as crazy as it is, that China's been brilliant in the way that they're playing Go. The U.S. is still playing catch-up, and it thinks it can use the same models that it's used before, and those models are old, outdated, and again, China hasn't checkmated in a way that doesn't even take fire in a single shot. And that's what Sun Tzu said. The greatest generals have been the ones who have been able to win a war or a battle without having to fire a single shot. The U.S. is not going to be able to fire a single shot after a while.
Yeah, you speaking, it's a movie, I know a lot of y'all don't watch movies, a lot of the listeners, but it was a movie called Red Dawn, where the Koreans was come over, and they done that same exact thing. They hit all of the pressure points, whether it was the military complex in a particular town, and after they hit that, then they go to the place where the food is rationed at. And once they gain control of those two things and a few others, now everybody has to bottleneck their way through through these foreigners in order to just survive, whether it's toilet paper, soap, food, water, all of these type of things. And that's exactly what y'all are discussing. And every time I was getting ready to say something, Raj, you would bring up my points, spots like Sun Tzu and why China is over there. But that goes back to, that actually brings me back to an article that Dave had, and I believe you the one that put it up, about the B-52 bombers getting ready to be loaded and put on notice. And that's
24-hour notice.
This also, that makes sense from what you just stated. Now, that also makes sense when we're talking about the reason why the United States is trying to get over into Africa by way of getting into it with Iran. Now they'll be close enough to let some of those bombs off mistakenly, because, you know, it's always casualties. Even though they're so precise with everything else, there's always casualties on other countries. So all of this is kind of molding itself together. But we right here at the top of the hour. For anybody that would have a question or comment, y'all give us a call. Hope we're doing Brother Dave justice tonight. The phone number is 866-510-9025. That number again is 866-510-9025. You're listening to Tando Radio with Brother Rhys and myself, Jerry Hayes. I think this is about commercial break time, is it not, Brother Scotty?
Yeah. About 2 minutes from what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right, Brother Rhys. We back. Welcome to another episode of Tando Radio. You have your guest host, myself, Jerry Hayes, and also Brother Rhys.
You all have a call on the board, Brother Jerry.
Say again, Brother Scott.
You have a call on the board.
Yeah, we get the call in right now. Area code 717. What is your name? Where you calling from? And what is your question or comment?
Hey, brother. This is Brother Davis. I just want to call and let you know your brother's doing an outstanding job. I think the information is vital. I don't think the people understand the catastrophe that can be impending on the U.S. if there's a battle, war of any sort on American soil. Because we've always seen war on TV. You cannot begin to describe the dynamic of war in person, because there's no, only war only brings destruction. So you have to think of it as understanding that there's no break, and there's not anybody in America here that wishes that to happen. But I believe that you've demonstrated the vulnerability of the country with the way you've laid out the show tonight. I just wanted to add that, because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people think because America has more guns than any other country in the world that they're going to be able to do battle with an invasion force according to a movie. But it's an entirely different scenario in life. I just wanted to add that, brothers. You're doing an excellent job, man.
Thank you, Brother Davis. Please give our love to Sister Davis as well. You said something really interesting, because thinking about it, if a war was to hit the soil, if you really study what happened in Nazi Germany, it wasn't concentration camps as far as them being put in ovens that killed them. Most of them starved to death, and it was due to the Allied bombing of the supply routes of food and medical equipment to those different concentration camps. And the concentration camps were labor camps. And the Zyklon B, if you put it in Google, Zyklon B, which is what they claimed they were being gassed with, was actually used to de-louse them, because they were actually getting diseases from lice. And the lice would jump from one Jew to another, spreading the disease. And the only way to kill the lice was by basically dousing them with Zyklon B, which in low doses is not lethal. It actually gets the lice off. So they would bathe them in the Zyklon B to remove the lice. So really, that's what's going to happen here, because when Dave talks about guaranteed on-time delivery system, the God system that the U.S. works on, when they shut down our supply routes, like Brother David said, you could have, you know, 250 million United States Americans with guns, but if they're sitting there starving because they don't know how to live off the land and the trucks that supply the food to their supermarkets aren't coming, it's a wrap. It is a wrap for anybody who chooses to come in here will literally have the lay of the land, and they'll just be dealing with like the Walking Dead. It'll just be citizens starving, ready to kill for a bite to eat, and it'll be as easy as point and shoot. That's the way they're going to look at us. They're going to look at us as an insurgent population. China's going to own the lion's share of the important sites in this country, so it's going to be basically, let's get rid of them because they're messing with our productivity now. You know, this is like this lays out a very dire situation if we think about it. And to me, that's what makes Catalonia so important, because what Catalonia is basically doing is the people are taking control. And this is something that I said on this show before. You know, instead of the military gathering its troops going overseas to fight at the behest of a psychopathic racist, why don't they just stop? They say, we're not doing nothing. We're going to have a military sit-in where they say, we're not going overseas. We're not going to the barracks. We're not doing none of that. If Donald Trump has a problem with Jinping, we're going to put Donald Trump and Jinping on the island. We're going to give them the guns and let them kill each other. And whichever one wins, then that's who won the war. It's the people taking control of the way that they're used as human resources. And that's the thing. Like, we have to shift our consciousness in the way that we allow these leaders to dominate our mindset and say, you have to go and do what I said because. Because just like Dave talks about this all the time, Scotty's talked about it before, Henry Kissinger calls the military his dogs, his attack dogs. We say sick 'em, you go kill 'em. And that's the mentality. That's how white supremacy works. The white guy at the top tells everybody else, especially the non-white people, what to do. And when you study the Vietnam War, the lion's share of people who died were black people and non-white people who they put on the front lines to protect the white life that was behind the scenes. And that's really what it's all about. And this is exactly what's going to happen here. The difference is now they're including, you know, our daughters as collateral human resources to send into battle. And then you have all of the domestic stuff going on that also puts a whole nother spin on this. I don't know if you got to see this, Jerry, but I posted this article from the Grist before, and it basically talks about, it says, it's thegrist.org, and it says, federal officials accidentally emailed a reporter their plans to spin Puerto Rico. In late September, the Pentagon included Bloomberg News climate reporter Christopher Flavelle on a series of emails meant for Pentagon employees. The emails detail talking points for convincing the public that the White House's response to Puerto Rico was going well. Just one minor problem, it so wasn't. Many Puerto Ricans have gone without power, clean water, and adequate food ever since Hurricane Maria hit last month. Flavelle pointed out some highlights from their messages, which he received September 28th and October 2nd. When San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz criticized the White House's self-congratulatory statements about its Puerto Rico relief, which Cruz called a, quote, people are dying story, unquote, officials from the Defense Department and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, were instructed to ignore Cruz and say that the federal government's full attention is on Hurricane Maria response. In response to these emails, Mayor Cruz wrote on Twitter, and then they have her comments regarding the leak of this information. And it says, so much for the White House's attempt to turn the corner on their Puerto Rico problem. As Department of Defense staff admitted in a later email, the public perception of the government's response continues to be a negative. Sometimes perception is reality. And I know that Dave had put an article in there today discussing the fact that the United States citizens do not fear terrorism. They fear the government. They fear the U.S. government. And there was a quote at the end of the article that Dave posted that said, when the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. And what we've been dealing with is tyranny, especially since 9/11. 9/11 was the starting point for all of the stuff that we're seeing snowball into the situation that we're dealing with today. And this is just all about deflection of the attention from what China's doing with the rare earth minerals, from the U.S.'s response to Texas, to Puerto Rico, all of these, and Florida, and all of these different places, and everybody's focusing on Trump's racism, or, you know, the people who were shot on the West Coast, and all of this other stuff. And these are things that are happening right under our noses, and we're just either not paying attention to it, or it's just being obfuscated by the attention that's being paid to other things. And I just find that to be something that's really, really important that we pay attention to, because this is going to get really ugly. And I don't think there's words to describe in the English language, like, really what we're on the precipice of, just based on just the information we talked about today. But you can go back to just about every Daniel show from day one, and you know, shows that Jerry and I have done, as well as Brother Rio on Melanated Roots. It's such a holistic form of destruction of this country. I don't know what, if there's going to be, it like Dave said, a United States of America in another 20-30 years. There might not be. It might be, you know, just partitioned into things where China and Russia and all these other people just get their little piece of the country and do whatever they want. It gives a lot of pause for thought for what's happening and what's set to happen, and what we should be doing to try and show up ourselves and our families, because this is about to get serious.
Well, you're exactly right. Looking, and it looks like, is that Brother Mario Rio? Is that something you wanted to add?
Yes, sir. I wanted to add to this fire that's being dropped on here. Well said. Well said. But I wanted to bring something to the table and have the brothers kick it around and kind of see what they thought, because I find it I find it very strange. But I think it all is going according to plan. That you have the United States, which is falling in power, China, which is gaining in power. Which also, I believe, explains the U.S. takeover of Indian Federated Land, as well as private property of the ranchers out in the West, because they're sitting on resources which the government needs or has already allocated to different countries and receiverships, mainly China and Russia and other countries. But I find it strange that this is occurring at a time when we know that the population of the European is almost negative.
Yes,
which means in another 15 to 75 years, they're going to be almost non-existent anyway. So I think that, you know, in my mind, this looks like a planned changing of the guards to China, another country that's willing to play ball. They have their citizens suppressed to the point to where, you know, they're almost robots and they're doing whatever the government is willing to tell them. So the powers that be it the IMF or the Vatican or whatever, can continue to play out their agenda through the Chinese culture and manifestation, because of their, like you just said, you know, their ability to play a different game, use different strategies, and be very successful at it, because they're in all the key places. They are in Africa, they're in Jamaica, they're in different parts of the globe, you know, capitalizing on the resources. And, you know, when they first come in, they're always friendly. But, you know, I think we know what the ultimate agenda is and what it's going to be. So I just wanted to put that on the table. I just find it curious that, you know, China is coming into its own as, you know, we actually can see the numbers or the writing on the wall for the European population, you know, and as far as their population and being able to remain in existence as they are right now without filtering into the family of man. So I just wanted to hit the brothers with that. I'll go ahead and mute my line and listen to what your brothers have to kick.
I agree. I hadn't looked at it from that standpoint as far as them teaming up with China, though, because me and Brother Thomas them went through this on several occasions, talking about China, Russia, and America all fighting. Now, they all click up on several occasions to get rid of little troublesome countries from time to time. For instance, their cooperation with, say, their quote-unquote cooperation with the operations in Syria. And that could have been a ploy to divvy up the minerals in that land. But if they was going to team up with anybody, I would believe it to be the Russians, although they pretend to have so much hatred towards each other. we know that even here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they give so many kickbacks for Volkswagen. Now, they done a little stunt, and they put some they levied them a little bit, but you notice that was only when they was going through their goal conversations about Russia getting their gold back. And a year later, all of those levies that they put on Volkswagen was gone. They have their own plants, and when you get to their plants the same way that the Chinese have plants, whether it may be a manufacturing place or what have you, in that little area and so many square blocks around it, that is that's the same as a government post, to where when you step within that vicinity, you have to follow the rules of that country. Not the job, but the rules of that country. So, mm-hmm. And they have this posted all over the place when you go to these places. Like I say, Volkswagen, that being a car dealer, a car manufacturer, when you step foot on their premises, you are subjugated to the laws of Russia. So but then they don't like each other though either. So whichever one they do team up with, I foresee them having another war after they team up on the one. Right now I'm seeing Russia and China getting ready to jump on the United States. China don't want to go into it right now because they still, like you say, in receivership. They're still collecting the bounty that they're owed. So before they go in there and destroying everything, I feel like they're trying to section off their particular pieces of land that they don't care if it get burnt. Sectioning that off first, and then we can go in there. You know, it's a team game. You know, like Rob was saying, they playing Go. So they've been thinking about these moves for a long time. You think about when the Koreans said that the Japanese, we ain't gonna have to bomb you or none of that. We're gonna destroy you from the inside. And then what? All of these years later, we have all of their electronics in every facet of our lives. So who's to say that some of those attacks are not coming? Because I just read one of those articles where it said that the government had got denied by 7,000 mobile devices. Who's to say it's not them? I mean, I'm not saying it's them, but when we're talking about their technology, always in our areas, we know that they be spying on us through these TVs and what have you. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Brother Real. Brother Ross?
Yeah, I agree with them as well, and it made me think about something else too, because their numbers are falling so fast. Of course, we know that you know, they like to mix with non-white people to get a little infusion of extra genetic material, which allows them further means of survival while still trying to maintain the vast majority of their numbers not mixing with other groups. But when I looked at the color scheme, out of all of the non-white groups, the ones that are in color closest to them are Asian people. They both share the same type of melanin, pheomelanin, which is the degenerated form of melanin. So to me, and even if you look at statistically, out of all the non-white groups, even in this country, more than any other group, white people tend to marry, if they marry at all, non-white people, they tend to marry more Asians than anyone else. Black people, last we talked about it on the Cows last year, it was half of 1%. of white people marry black people, yet on TV it looks different. So I think it was 5% of them marry Asian people, and I think it's because in color they tend to look more like white people with that quote unquote yellow hue, and they'll be able to get the genetic material. But when you look up the word mongoloid, as far as just that term, it refers to phenotypically Asian people. It says of or having to do with having Down syndrome. So they have genetic mutations that will further enhance the genetic degeneracy of the white gene when they come in contact with each other. So it's just an interesting thing looking at the numbers plummeting, like Brother Leo was saying. This ties into the book that we have read, The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy, and the fact that they're trying to falsely give the impression to certain non-white groups that they are now white too in order to bolster their numbers, which creates mental confusion so that we really will never know what white people's numbers really are. So I agree with Brother Real emphatically, but I just thought about that idea. Out of all the non-white people, you know, so-called yellow-skinned Asian people are the ones closest in skin color phenotypically to them. So I think that that's the reason that more they intermarry more with them than any other non-white group.
Brother Ross, I have a question. You just brought something mm-hmm. to my mind, and when you were talking about they're trying to confer whiteness to another group, and
yeah.
you know, to sum up what you were saying, even though that wasn't your exact words, but how is it conferred? I believe uh-huh. that whiteness is conferred politically. When you look
Absolutely.
When you look at Brazil, you don't have nothing but melanated people in Brazil. But who's in charge? Mm-hmm. The ones that's closely yep. With genetic material closely related to Europeans, whether they're Spaniards or what have you, they're still Europeans, or the Portuguese or what have you. So that, I just wanted to see, you know, what your thoughts on that, on how do you convey whiteness and where does the power of whiteness lie if not in mm-hmm. politics?
I agree, because you said this, I think, last week, Friday. Everything is a political act in all areas of people activity: economics, education, entertainment, healthcare, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Every decision is political. So to me, what you're saying is completely accurate. It makes sense. And to me, that is what would further bolster, because if you look at China is a very much hardcore totalitarian communist society where they have quite a bit of control over their populace in a way that other countries don't. Same thing with North Korea. They have control over the everyday citizen in a way that we have not seen anywhere else on the planet. So if China takes over the United States, it will put them in the same position where they can dominate and have that control over the U.S. populace no differently than they did there. And the same sort of violence, the Tiananmen Square type of stuff with the guy standing in front of the tank, you're going to start seeing that right here against the Chinese people who are in control. And then, like you said, the conveyance of whiteness will be conveyed through politics and color. That color, the color consciousness, will be conveyed politically speaking to the Chinese. And to me, just the way that their society runs now, even with white supremacy being in control, it would give them it would make it easier for them to practice the sort of horrible domination that they do on their own people in the other areas that they control.
Hey, I was speaking about the politics of whiteness. You had put up a post earlier today, Scotty, and I ended up watching a lot of it. It was they was talking about conservatism. It was a black conservative, and then you had you had Richard Spencer was the other conservative, and the identification of whiteness, that's normally what they use as far as that political speech, is being a conservative. And when this black man was saying that he was a conservative, I don't know if you looked at that video, Scotty, but he looked at him and was like, I'm not sure about your definition of conservative, but this is what it means to me. And he laid out his point about being a white supremacist, making sure that the white race stays in power and is not eliminated from this nation, because in his words, it was his people's country. Although he kept referring back to Europe, with him being a European, he kept saying this was their country and they didn't want to, they was not going to lose it. Now this goes to the marches that was going on with these tiki torches and what have you, and the fight that broke out to where they end up running over the white woman. Now this is actually what we are talking about right now, the degeneration, the negative birth rates. Scotty, I had seen you put earlier the opioid crisis that's going on. All of these things, with all of those things rising, we also have a rise with these young races and this being conservatives. They're coming out even more, speaking more forcefully. So before any of all of that happens, do any of you brothers believe that before they get into a war with anybody else, the way that they're pushing it, that there will be that civil war that I had spoke about a year ago on this show coming up anytime soon?
Can I be heard?
Yes. Go ahead, Brother Mario.
Brother Jerry, I believe that is an outstanding point, and I think what you brothers are bringing is coming back full circle, because we're talking about the white status in terms of politics, but politics is nothing but the ability to have control in the hands of a certain group of people. And ultimately, I believe that this struggle is between indigenous people and people who are not indigenous. I don't know where they come from. They may come from us. They may come from an outer source. But we're dealing with people who have sovereignty through the land and an actual claim to the land, and they're being disenfranchised from that claim. And the political agendas are to forever prevent those people from getting or regaining control of the resources, be it minerals, water, or what have you, prevent them from regaining that control, because they have no sovereignty anywhere over the globe, whether you're talking about the European or the Mongoloids, because we know from a scientific fact that it was the melanated being that was the first on the planet, spread out, inhabited the planet, which means they have sovereign rights and a birthright claim to all of the land.
To me,
and
to
they're
me,
looking at themselves as being out on the outside looking in. So if they don't keep political control, they have no control.
To me, brother,
and with the atrocities that they've already done. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
To me, politics and control could be synonymous. I mean, they could be metaphors right. for each other. I mean, because politics, like, even if we take it out of the nation-state context, you have corporate politics. In a religious institution, politics are being played out. So all politics are, in my opinion, is who's in control.
Absolutely. It's the brainchild of control. Sir. And, you know, it's interesting what you both said brings me to another article I posted in Tando earlier today, which speaks to everything you both just said, and it's from Diversity Inc. It says, "Investor pundit thanks God white people populated America and not the black bank, not the black, excuse me." And it says it was been banned by networks. Mark Faber, an influential Swiss investor and guest commentator on markets for decades, is known as Dr. Doom, quote unquote, for his bearish forecasts on stocks. Faber's recent racist pontifications on the colonization of the United States, the intelligence of Africans, and the far-right movement, just to name a few, has resulted in Bloomberg Television, CNBC, and even Fox Business Network stating on Tuesday that they will no longer book him. In the October 3rd installment of the Gloom, Boom, and Doom Report, a 15-page investor letter he wrote, "And thank God white people populated America and not the black. Otherwise, the U.S. would look like Zimbabwe, which it might look like one day anyway, but at least America enjoyed 200 years in the economic and political sun under white majority. Quote, I am not a racist, but the reality, no matter how politically incorrect, needs to be spelled out as well. And let's not forget that the African tribal heads were more than happy to sell their own slaves to white, black, and Arab slave dealers," he says. Subscribers to Faber's investor letter scanned his comments and posted them on social media. In defense of his statements, he told Media Watch on Tuesday, "I'm not saying it would be better. I am just saying that progress would not have been the same," unquote. When asked why, quote unquote, progress would be worse, Faber said, quote, "Europeans brought science to America. They brought technical skills. I'm not sure the Africans would have done that," unquote. In regard to technology in Africa, research by Clapperton, Chakanetsa, Mavunga, an associate professor of science, technology, and society at MIT, offers important information. Mavunga edited the anthology, quote, What Do Science, Technology, and Innovation Mean from Africa, unquote, which explains that science and technology in Africa is not a product of, quote, technology transfer, quote, from elsewhere, but as the working of African knowledge. Science Magazine recently published an article on the book, stating, quote, Eurocentric assumptions about the history of science and technology, entrepreneurship, epistemology, and scientific methodology are directly challenged in this scholarly collection of essays that masterfully document the historical and contemporary scientific contributions of Africans, unquote. According to Bloomberg, also in Faber's Racist Investor Letter, quote, in between quotes from George Orwell and the historian Edward Gibbon and his opinions on universal basic income, unquote, he addressed far-right movements. Far-right movements are gaining traction across the U.S. and Europe, Europe and the U.S. On Sunday, Austrian voters paved the way for a nationalist party to enter government in an election upset. Last month, Alternative for Germany won enough seats in parliament to become the legislature's third largest party. After protesters met white supremacists with torches at a march in Charlottesville, Virginia, in August, President Donald Trump faced criticism for saying there were very fine people on both sides, quote-unquote. Faber included President Donald Trump's response to the deadly white supremacist rally on August 12th with the status of several far-right movements in Europe. While campaigning for U.S. presidency, Trump praised the success of the 2016 Brexit referendum, the vote for the withdrawal of the United Kingdom from the European Union that was heavily embraced by the far-right movement. World-renowned British theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking said in March the majority of vote by Britons for the referendum was quote-unquote short-sighted knee-jerk reaction to increased Eastern European migration. Hawking also described Trump voters as, quote, people who felt disenfranchised by the governing elite and in a revolt against globalization, unquote. He said Trump's priority will be to satisfy his electorate who are neither liberal nor that well-informed, unquote. Under that new administration, quote, I fear I may not be welcome in the United States, Hawking said. In addition, Faber also argued against the removal of the Confederate statues in the U.S., stating they are statues of honorable people whose only crime was to defend what all societies have done for more than 5,000 years. I'll stop there. But this kind of puts everything that you both said into full perspective, and this, again, just kind of brings that genetic annihilation context into the situation, and the fact that this is what Michael Bradley said, the author of the ISIS papers, when he came and also practiced racism on the cow. If white people cannot dominate and control the planet, its resources, and everyone on it, they're willing to destroy the planet themselves and everyone that's on it along with
them. Hold up. Now, that's a great place to stop, because this is it's time for us to go to break. Scotty, if you will. Okay.
Yes, sir. You're listening to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit ** on your keypad. We'll see you unmuted on the board, and we'll come to you. We'll be right back after these messages. Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, it looks like we have a caller. Get this caller in right quick. That was a nice way to end that, Brother Roz. Sister Ottawa, is that you?
Hello?
Watu?
Yes, Watu.
Watu. How are you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, brother, man?
Tando Radio.
Yes, thank you. I want to commend you guys, you know, for the excellent information that you're sharing. Got me glued to the radio here, which more of our people were tuned in. But I just wanted to make a comment to the brother who opened up the commentary when he was referring, I hope I'm correct, he said that there were only several wars that the United States fought internally or declared inside the United States. But I think, you know, we would be making a terrible mistake if we don't remember the war that's still in process. It's the, you know, the war, so-called war on drugs, which we clearly identified as the war against African people. Low intensity in many regards, but lately it has escalated to be, you know, all-out, full-blown military attacks against our people. So, you know, the war against African people that's been long ongoing, you know, we would be making a mistake if we don't include that. That's all I want to say. I don't know.
You are correct. You are correct, and I understand what you're saying. And I guess I could have been more precise when I was mentioning the wars fought on this land. But you are correct. I have no regards about. I agree with you. Thank you for tuning in, brother.
Thank
if you have anything else you would like to say, I just bring it to us again.
I do have one thing. There's a brother in Baltimore. I think he's been on the radio show. Several of the radio shows. His name is Abdul Jabbar. He works within the prison movement in this country. He's a member of Jericho, and he's doing really bad in the hospital right now. I'm pretty sure. I know Scotty's had him on his show in the past. You know, maybe a few.
Yeah,
years
that's
ago.
The first person.
Oh, what's
about.
His name? What's his name again?
His name's Abdul Jabbar.
Okay, this isn't the brother that does a radio show on political prisoners, is it?
He doesn't have a show per se.
Okay.
No.
Okay, it's not the same person. I got it confused with somebody else. Sorry to hear that, though.
That could be Eddie Conway, maybe, but Abdul Jabbar, he having a rough time right now. I mean, it is serious. I just wanted to add that there, you know, for your listening audience.
We have to lift this brother up in prayers. If you can post some information too about him on BTR community, at, you know, so we can kind of learn more about him and continue to lift his name up. Never know how healing just the thoughts and prayers and meditations on the upliftment of the spirit of another person can be. So definitely, that's something that you know, definitely, if you can, if you are on BTR, if you can post some more information about him. Or even email me at raskelile@comcast.net. That way I can just kind of just study more on him and just put that spiritual and mental focus on his healing, because that's very important that we uplift our people who fight for us. Whether we agree with them or not, each of us are victims, and, you know, VGQ, each of us are trying to take the best approach that we can think of to thwart this system. So we have to uplift those who are doing the best that they can. And obviously he is one of them. That abolitionist fight is of the utmost importance, because white supremacy started with slavery. It's predicated on slavery, which is the domination of non-white people into robotic automatons for their system. So absolutely, thanks for bringing that information. I greatly appreciate you for that.
Okay, and I'll get the information
to you. Sure, thank you so much. And I just wanted to say, too, just to tie into what we've been talking about the whole evening, There was an article I posted on Tando that discussed that scientists have discovered habitable parts of the moon. And that is the United States looking to colonize the moon permanently to mine for precious metals and probably rare earth minerals on the moon. They said they found a giant cave that would be something that they can utilize to build a space base, a permanent base on the moon. I know that I've read that China's looking at the moon, Russia was looking at the moon, and every week there seems to be more information about the United States definitely planning to colonize the moon, and they're going to be mining for those same rare earth minerals because they don't control them on this planet legally anymore. China does. So they're going to have to find alternate means, and I think that article is definitely indicative of that. Something else I just wanted to say for people, just as this more or less information for people with children specifically, especially young children, there was an article I posted from Lying Like a Fox Business that was entitled, "Hackers Are Now Targeting Schools, Threatening Children, and Intercepting Paychecks." Schools are increasingly becoming a target for cyber attacks, with hackers aiming to compromise data of more than 30 schools so far across the country. These hackers are not just getting their hands on students' names, addresses, social security numbers, but also students' grades, their disciplinary records, and even their medical records. Also, they seem to be intercepting people's paychecks, where they're not going to release people's pay for the company until they get whatever ransom that they're requesting. So this is the next stage of what Dave said about them using hacking as a means to really get at our information, especially vulnerable children, because children don't have a financial history yet, especially when they're young children. So this is a way that they're going to be doing this. And then there was another one and this has to do with kidnapping children and pedophilia. Talking drone caught trying to lure children away from school grounds. This was from the 13th of October 2017 in Akron, Ohio. In a story that speaks directly to both the march of technology and the inherent dangers therein, an Ohio news outlet reported Tuesday that a talking drone is visiting children in Akron while they're at school from local WKYC. We're revolutionizing the news. Oh, one thing. Quote, the Akron Public Schools District is warning parents to be wary of a drone that has been reported flying over the Windermere Community Learning Center. According to a letter issued to school parents by Windermere Principal Megan Lee Wilfong, on Monday, the drone has reportedly been spotted flying around school grounds in the evening. It has been seen there 3 to 4 times during the past week. According to WKYC, which interviewed witnesses, the machine is even equipped with components that allow it to speak. It has been using that voice to try and, quote, lure children away from school grounds, unquote. That's what Daniel Rambler, Akron Public Schools Director of Student Support Services and Security, told the outlet. Quote, the drone was trying to interact with them, wanted to see if they would meet them at a dollar store, which is about 3 blocks away from where the school is, unquote. Rambler said that these days, parents and children are likely to be aware that threats can come in many different forms. Quote, we've always known of stranger danger, and we teach it to kids constantly, but that's not just people, but things. Make sure you go over with your kids what are your expectations. If your kids are on the playground and somebody comes up to them, what is your expectation of what they do? Something if there is a remote control device that does that, unquote. In the meantime, the district is advising parents that an adult should accompany children to school grounds. So basically, this is the way that the system works, white supremacy in regards to their deviant behavior. Now they're going to use these drones, they're going to use robots. Eventually the artificial intelligence is going to be raping children too, and probably practicing bestiality. So this is just the next level of the way that they function. And again, even if they program these different robots and these so-called artificial intelligence and these bots, they're being programmed by psychopathic, sociopathic, acutely narcissistic beings that are inherently aware and terrified of their genetic annihilation. So what do you think they're programming these computers, these bots, and the so-called artificial intelligence with? The same concept, the same ideology. So we're just seeing it play out in the most sophisticated manners possible, and this is happening already in Akron, Ohio, so expect it to spread throughout the country. This is not going to be something that's going to disappear anytime soon. In fact, it's going to be well-refined and ratcheted up as time progresses.
Yes, most definitely. But as of right now, we are going to, I hope you all enjoyed tonight. I know it wasn't what you was calling and expecting, but I hope you still got some good information and enjoyed the conversations that was going on. Shout out to everybody who who added to the dialogue. We are getting ready to get out of here to make way for Brother Rio and Brother Tommy coming in at the 8 o'clock hour for Melanated Roots. Looking forward to hear what those brothers have going on.
Hey, Brother Jerry.
Got it?
Hey, Brother Jerry, y'all got at least 15 minutes, bro.
Okay. I thought we get off at 7:50. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's only 7:41 right now.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, y'all got about 15 more minutes.
Okay. I thought we ended it at 7:50. That's why I was getting ready to. Okay, though. You know, we don't have to worry about this when we be on air. So it's, I was just trying to be respectful.
I understand. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, it has. I was looking throughout this whole time, man. I was looking through my constitutional law dictionary, and I could not come across the article, the section on the U.S. bankruptcy. Brother Mario, if you could. Now, I keep going across several things that it references it, but it's not giving me exactly what I'm wanting. Would you happen to have that article? Because that's what made me go and look at it when you brought it up, Brother Rio. And I found it online, but I can't find it in my book right here.
Brother Jerry, one article that I can point you to offhand is look for the speech that James Tropicont gave to Congress. He was a state senator for Ohio, and he is on record, reporting to Congress about the bankruptcy of the United States, and he goes into great detail. Also, I can't think offhand. I have to look up and get you that information.
I have a question, Brother Mario. On that.
Yes, sir.
Now, how are the so-called 1% in this country, your Donald Trumps, your Warren Buffett's, your Microsoft CEO, people like that, how are they, are they immune from this? Or are they just like the rest of us, can wake up one day and that bank account say zero? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, how does that bankruptcy, how would that impact them, if it would at all?
Well, the bankruptcy is on a corporate level. The right. United States of America Incorporated is bankrupt. Mm-hmm. On an individual level, what has happened is through the 14th Amendment and invisible contracts, they have created a sub-level of citizenship to where the people are now under, or the creation of, the corporation, thereby being controlled. So all the property, the assets, and the energy are pledged to the federal government corporation. And with them being bankrupt, all they do is pass that along to the people in receivership. So on an individual level, you can still have, you know, all the Federal Reserve notes that you want. Your position is going to give you beneficial treatment, as well as a privilege to information of what's coming down the pipe, so that you can prepare yourself for what's coming, where we are not in the know. So one day we go into the bank and the banks are just closed, where someone like a Warren Buffett, right, where someone like a Warren Buffett is not only going to help orchestrate the plan, okay, but he is in the know, so he can diversify his portfolio. So he has time to transfer his assets into precious metals. He has time to hype up and take advantage of bitcoins. He has time to get stock into whatever else they're going to push on their agenda. So he has time to prepare in order to not be affected by the agenda that everybody else is going to be subject to. Because at the end of the day, the 1% only care about the 1%.
Right.
Everybody else is a spotter.
Since you brought up Bitcoin,
we have a caller. Caller, we'll get to you in just a second. I'm sorry, Scotty. Go ahead.
Yeah, because Dave, you know, he does talk about cryptocurrencies and stuff like that. I see they trying to blow up Bitcoin. You got a Saudi prince now bad mouthing Bitcoin, and you know, when Jamie Dimon, the CEO of, I think it's what is that, JP Morgan Chase, he made mm-hmm. some negative comments about Bitcoin, and it lost, you know, some of its gains and what have you. And now I'm seeing this Saudi prince coming out bad mouthing Bitcoin. I think they feel threatened by Bitcoin.
Hey Scotty, to that point.
Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rio.
No, go ahead, brother.
To that point, Scotty, ahead, I remember when JP Morgan had brought that up less than a week after the same people who put that article out, and I believe it was Wall Street Journal, but they come right back out, and the JP Morgan company was investing millions of dollars into Bitcoin right when he was saying the week prior that we shouldn't be investing. So some of that stuff is to drop the price down. So this is what they be talking about when he say they want to shave pennies off of certain stocks, get them to drop down just a little bit, because they buying this stuff by the tons. Well, that, as far as the precious metals, but in this particular case, we're talking about Bitcoin. So if they can drop it down a few hundred dollars when they buy about a millions, that makes a huge difference about how much more they could buy in one big purchase.
I agree with that 100%.
Yes, you're talking about market manipulation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and don't you know,
hold on, Brother Rio. Oh, well, go ahead, because I want to get to this call after you get done with that.
Okay. Well, the only thing I was going to add is that, you know, Brother Dave is definitely more of an expert in that area than me, but one thing that I do know that he echoes is that you know, the Bitcoin currency is being perpetrated by the same bankers. So it's the same agenda, it's just a different vehicle. Only with this vehicle, they're going to have more control, because there's going to be less cash currency on hand that people can have. And as Brother Roz alluded to, more people are going to be subject or held hostage by these so-called hackers. And you're going to have less access to currency than you do now. So it's just another heightened level of control, if you ask me.
You are correct. And let me, Brother Otis, in the chat room, he states fiat currency not tied to precious metals, any natural resources, uranium, cobalt, blockchain, or technology. And he asking you, Scotty, what is Jamie Dimon got wrong about Bitcoin and tulips? But right now we're going to go to this call out of Chicago, area code 312. What is your name? What is your comment?
Hello, how you doing? This is Marvin. I'm calling out 312, but I'm in Texas. I got a few comments. First, I'm going to ask a question of Mr. Scotty, the chairman of the board. Are you getting in on that Bitcoin thing Dave talking about?
Oh, no,
sir. Because I have a... You're not?
No.
Since you do so much work for this this station, and you know, with the anti-slavery stuff, I would be willing to put it up for you, and you do what you will with the proceeds. Welcome to do that?
Yes, I would really appreciate that, but no, I don't have the resources to jump into that. Yeah. If I did,
I think Dave was gonna do that for you anyway, Scott.
Yep, I was going to say that.
He had already mentioned that he had you put up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I didn't know that if you don't, I can do it or whatever. I know, because I know Dave do so much, I would still like to do that. And second, good job, Jerry and Roz. We're going to get Dave up off the show. We don't need Dave no more, y'all. It's just good program.
We do need him, but thank you.
I know, y'all know I'm just BSing. All right, I'm gone, man. Love y'all.
Thank you.
Peace.
Yeah, Scotty, he already got you in. I guess he just gotta take you through the the financial loops of everything you got to put in, because it's a few things that you have to do as far as different websites that you have to log into and get verification for some things. It's a a digital wallet that you have to download to transfer that digital currency before you could put it into your bank account. There's several things. So once I think that's why he's off today, because he's doing some stuff on the back end to handle that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's gonna have to. It's gonna be like a class you done gave to me, Scotty. Y'all gonna have a about an hour or so of just going over stuff and figuring out what to put, where to put certain information. So yeah, he already got you in there. Well, that's if you didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. He had mentioned to me. And I appreciate people looking out.
Of course, Otis. All you had to do is press star. I'm sorry.
We got about let me see, about 4 minutes, bro.
Well, won't take long. I was just going to throw this in. I've been listening to you gentlemen and what you're talking about, and the best way to understand it is I tagged in the chat room the title for you to Google. It takes you straight to an article that addresses Jamie Dimon, what's wrong with the information he gave you, and actually how Bitcoin and the tulips and slavery all created fractional banking, being able to sell futures in banking. It's an interesting thing, and it'll tie together what all you've been talking about. Appreciate the conversation. Much power.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
And it's interesting because I just posted an article that said, this was in Tandem like maybe 2 or 3 days ago, that said that Bitcoin is set to cross $10,000 in 2018. And it already hit the 6,000 plus mark in the past week. So, you know, it's funny because I'm not a big TV watcher, but there's a show called Mr. Robot that has had me enthralled since it started. They're in the third season. And this season, they specifically are talking about China versus the United States. And what they have is they predicated the United States using this fictional cryptocurrency called eCoin, and China
and Brother its
affiliates Rise. Backing Bitcoin. Go ahead.
Brother Rise, we got to get on up out of here. Y'all be sure to check us out every Wednesday at 9 o'clock on Foundational Radio. Hopefully we can I get my technological skills together and utilize some of this free space from Scotty. I'm going to see if I can persuade him to do that for me. Thank you, Scotty, for allowing us to be here tonight.
And thank you, Dave, too.
Thank you, Dave, also. And appreciate all of the help with everybody that tuned in with us tonight. We will let y'all go to get in with Melanated Roots coming up next.
Absolutely.
Peace.
Thank you all for being with us. Peace and love.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.